Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Centrum Electronics Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Lohia. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Quarter 1 FY 2026 call of Centrum Electronics Limited. First of all, I would like to thank management for providing us the opportunity to host the call. From the management side, we have Mr. Nikhil, Joint Managing Director; Mr. K.S. Dasikhan, Chief Financial Officer; Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, Chief Financial Officer Designate. So, without further delay, I would now hand over the call to management for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mohit, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the first quarter of financial year 2026. Let me first mention a special thanks to our host of today's call at ICICI Securities. I am joined today with our CFO, Mr. Dasikhan, and our CFO Designate, Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, as well. Let me first start by briefing you on the key performance highlights for the quarter under review, after which our CFO Designate, Mr. Sundararajan, will take you through the financial highlights. And for the Q&A, I will take the questions along with our CFO, Mr. Dasikhan, as well.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Nikhil, can you speak a little louder?
Sure. Yeah. So, in the first quarter under review, we delivered a strong performance on both revenue and EBITDA margins, with consolidated revenue from operations growing by 11.4% year-on-year. This was driven by strong growth at the standalone level of 35% year-on-year, primarily driven by the high-margin build-to-specification business, with higher deliveries for our domestic defense and space customers. There was, however, degrowth in our
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has got disconnected. Please stay connected. Meanwhile, I will connect them back.
Sorry.
The management line is connected.
Great. Thank you. So, apologies for that. I think we got disconnected. We'll restart again with my comments for the first quarter. So, in the first quarter under review, we delivered a strong performance on both revenue and EBITDA margins, with consolidated revenue from operations growing by 11.4% year-on-year. This was driven by strong growth at the standalone level of 35% year-on-year growth, primarily driven by the high-margin build-to-spec business. And these deliveries are for our domestic defense and space customers. There was, however, degrowth in our international subsidiaries. The demand there is yet to pick up in the ER&D business because of delays in customer decisions on new projects due to uncertain macro factors in Europe. Despite these headwinds, the pipeline of opportunities with key European defense and aerospace customers is improving, and we expect a better performance in the second half of this financial year, of course, contingent on the conversion of these identified opportunities. In addition, we are making progress on our evaluation of strategic actions to arrest losses and reposition the business, especially with regard to our Canadian subsidiary. On the order book front, our order book position grew to 1,769 crores as of 30th June 2025, driven by new EMS customers entering into the serial production phase after successful NPI qualification. Along with this, we have also received new development orders from DRDO for critical programs like the Virupaksha radar, which we expect will unlock significant long-term pipeline linked to various airborne platform programs. Now, I would request Mr. Sundararajan to give you more details on the financial performance.
Thank you, Nikhil, and a very warm welcome to all of you. Let me brief you on the financial highlights for the first quarter of financial year ending 2026. At a standalone level, the revenue from operations was about 180 crores, which increased by 35% year on year. The EBITDA for the quarter was around 27 crores, which also grew by more than 100% year on year, with the EBITDA margins reported at 14.92%. The net profit for the quarter was around 16.5 crores, which surged by more than 250% year on year. At a consolidated level, revenue from operations for the quarter was reported at INR 273 crores, which grew by 11% year on year. The EBITDA for the quarter was about 23 crores, a growth of 47% year on year, and the EBITDA margin reported at 8.38%. The net profit for the quarter was around INR 4.5 crores with PAT margins reported at 1.65%. With that, we can open the floor for Q&A sessions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh from Pre-Petiole Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So my first question was on the ER&D business. The ER&D revenues were under pressure. So can you elaborate on the pathway to recovery for this business and what is the expected timeline for this recovery? And also with Europe actively increasing defense spending, do you see meaningful uptake in this R&D opportunity? And are we seeing this translate into inquiries or order wins also?
Great. Thank you, Harsh, for the question. So, yes, with regard to the ER&D business, we've clearly seen demand softness over the past 18 months or so, led effectively by the firstly the automotive sector, partially also on the aerospace sector. But we are seeing an improvement in the pipeline of opportunities, driven largely by the defense customers and to a certain extent also with certain aerospace programs. So we expect to have some of these pipeline conversions happen over the next few months, and with that, we are targeting to have an improved performance in the ER&D part, at least in the second half of this financial year. So that's, I would say, the overall summary with regard to the ER&D business. So yes, we're certainly seeing signs of the increased spending in Europe in the form of a better pipeline of opportunities on the defense side. And we hope that this will sustain and convert in the time to come.
Right. And sir, the domestic BTS order book has remained flat QOQ. Could you share why is this and are there any expected conversions or current inquiry pipelines and expected conversions in the near term?
Yes, I mean, the while the order book has been relatively flat, you must remember that there's been a significant growth of revenue in deliveries over the last quarter, which is what we just highlighted. So from an order booking standpoint, it continues to remain healthy. And we continue to see a healthy pipeline of opportunities that we expect to book over the remainder of this year. So the domestic BTS business continues to be a growth area for us.
And sir, what is the typical execution timeline of the current BTS order book?
Yeah, typically the BTS orders are in the range of between 2 to 2.5 year execution period.
Right. And sir, on the development orders, which often carry lower or negative margin initially, what is the conversion timeline into production orders? Like, are we starting to see some of these translate into higher margin opportunities?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, I would say broadly, you can categorize the type of orders we have into two parts. You know, one is large development programs itself, you know, which are the kind of things that we do for the space, for space programs, for example, where you know, these are largely project-based or project type of business, which involves a design phase and a delivery or manufacturing phase for these things. But these are not huge in numbers because satellites are still relatively small in quantities, but high in value. On the other side, you have defense programs, where there's several different types of subsystems and all of that, where we have a development contract at the beginning, or even in certain cases we take on the development of products to indigenize imported systems, which itself lasts maybe about 18 to 24 months of design and qualification cycle. And subsequently, we will receive production orders for that over a longer period of time. So these are the two type of contracts that we typically have. But as I mentioned, the design and qualification period itself is you know, somewhere in the range of around 18 to 24 months.
Right. Sir, on the EMS side,
Mr. Harsh, sorry to interrupt, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for allowing me to ask your question and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand one. Can you give any update with respect to the Canadian subsidy? Has there any deal that has been finalized?
Yeah, thanks, Raman. This of course is a key priority, as we've been mentioning. We've made some good progress on that. We believe we should have a decision for this in the coming months, and we hope to basically have a decision for that by the end of the current quarter, and then you know there will be some time associated with, you know, a short period following that to close and you know basically complete the transaction. So we are still working towards that timeline. So,
sir, and can you give a ballpark figure what will be the cash inflow once you sell off this business?
Yeah, I'm not able to disclose anything of that sort at the moment. And also, we should remember this is a loss-making business, so the expectation of any significant cash in is not high, so.
Okay. And sir, my second question is with respect to the order book. Can you give the order book split?
I think the earnings presentation that we have highlights this, but just give me 1 minute. So yeah, at a high level, we see that about 710 crores is the order book for EMS, 886 crores is BTS, and ER&D service is 171 crores.
So, and my final question is with respect to the gross margin. During this quarter, there has been, I mean, although the EBITDA margin has increased by 200, almost 200 basis points on year-on-year, but the gross margin has declined by 100 basis points. Is there any one-off, or the steady-state gross margin is the current gross margin is the steady-state gross margin?
Maybe I will look at yeah.
So, you say EBITDA margin improved, but gross margin, what do you mean by gross margin? Because you are talking.
I'm talking about
Sorry to
only.
Interrupt, sir, but can you speak a little louder?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm talking to the management.
Okay. No, what do you mean by gross margin declining? Can you please explain? Because EBITDA is, we understand.
Yeah, so when I'm comparing it on year-on-year basis, your gross margin is around 50-51%, which is basically margin with respect to the materials consumed, and only currently it's around at 49-50%.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the part of materials consumed, we have to be just to clarify, there's a big contribution of the mix of the revenues that plays into this. So, you know, fundamentally, each of these businesses have different levels of gross margins that we have. The build-to-spec business, considering the fact that the design is done by us and so on, we have higher level of gross margin in that business compared to the EMS, where we are more manufacturing customers' design. And if you look finally even at the engineering services part of the business, there it is only people cost, because we have no material cost as such in engineering services by itself. So, the level of gross margin will be highly dependent on the mix of the three types of business that we have.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Sethia from Singularity AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, how much loss does the Canadian subsidiary do as of today, as of FY 2025?
This is, you know, last year, we have lost about 2.4 million euros. And in the 2 years prior to that, also, we have been losing about 2 million each year. And that is the reason that, you know, we are trying to take that hard decision of stopping the bleeding by one way or another.
Yeah. So similarly, even in Q1, it's about 600,000-700,000 euros, basically.
Sorry, 600,000-700,000 is the EBITDA loss that you're talking about?
No, it is EBT level, 600,000.
600,000.
For this quarter.
Yeah.
No,
zero.
Euro.
Euro. Okay.
Yes.
And sir, how many employees are still left in the Canadian subsidiary? I guess we had already downsized in the last 2 years.
Yeah, there are currently around 30 employees that we have there.
Okay. And this is basically the Alstom business, right?
They are the biggest, they are the largest customer contributing to this business. That's right.
So, when you are saying you are trying to reposition this Canadian subsidiary, are you in, so basically negotiating with Alstom or trying to sell the division off?
Yeah, so we are exploring different options. Our first objective is to stop the loss fundamentally. So, like I said, at this stage, I'm not able to divulge much because we're under NDA and we need to complete the discussions ongoing. But we are discussing both options, to be clear. So.
And how much does the Canadian subsidiary contribute to revenues in FY25?
The current quarter, let me say, because you know it has been coming down, and current quarter the subsidiary overall is about 95 crores, of which the Canadian entity is about 7 to 8 crores.
And how much would it be last year? Some 50, 60 crores or higher than that?
It would have been about 70 crores, 70 to 75 crores.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what is the current bid pipeline in terms of order book as of today? And you know, what is our expectation in terms of order inflow growth for FY26?
You're talking about the overall group, right?
Yes, on a consolidated basis.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really, again, express exactly what the bid pipeline is looking like, but I can just say that you know we do have a healthy pipeline and a plan to you know book the business to be able to continue a healthy level of growth that we've been targeting. As we mentioned in the past, our medium term growth objective is to be in the range of about 18 to 20% at a consolidated level, and at a standalone level would be higher than that. So we feel we have appropriate pipeline to be able to continue that level of growth going forward.
Okay, and sir, lastly on the CapEx front, I guess you had earlier mentioned that we'll do a 40 crore CapEx in FY26. So, and that would take our gross block up to around 390-400 crores. So, sir, what kind of asset turns do you see in the business? What is our utilization levels at each and every facility, if you can tell?
Currently, we are I talk about the standalone only because there are no capacity in the subsidiary. Currently, we are running around 6 to 7 times, and you know that may not significantly increase in the current year, but considering the growth from 6 to 7, we expect this to move about 8 to 9 turns in the next year or two, because significant capex will get added to this. So
the 40 crores capex that you had announced in the last call will be done purely for the Indian business?
Yes.
Okay. And we are not pumping in any money for our subsidiaries, right?
No.
Okay. And sir, in this gross block of around 380-390 crores, which will happen by the end of the year, how much would be from the Indian business and how much would be from overseas subsidiaries?
You mean gross block?
Yes, sir.
No, gross block is mostly Indian only because there is no fixed asset base. The subsidiary is all
A people
fixed
business.
asset.
It's a people business. You know, it's engineering services, so there's no major CapEx, and as you know, fixed assets in the subsidiary.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what I want to understand is, in the Canada business, was it ER&D and BTS both, or was it just any single segment?
Yeah, today it's largely a BTS business. I mean, the history, the background over here is that this used to be actually a part of Alstom in the past. It was carved out and given to the subsidiary or to the company even before actually we acquired the French company. This is, to be clear, the Canada subsidiary is a subsidiary of the French business, and it came along with the acquisition of the French business. So this was originally carved out and given as an engineering services contract for the people. And over time, it was a declining contract, which was to be converted into a BTS or product supply agreements with multiple different contracts and so on. So where we are today is essentially that the level of product deliveries and the sale is not enough to, or the margins associated with that is not enough to justify the costs that we have in Canada. And so that's part of the reason we're incurring the loss. And, you know, on the other side, one of the things that we have done is also created a team in India. So we have now about 30 engineers, 30 to 40 engineers in India, able to design and develop the same sort of solutions, and we're already delivering this for Delhi and Chennai metros in India. We won a first order even for the Vande Bharat program in the past quarter. And so, you know, we are able to you know, continue this capability from India without reliance on Canada.
Okay. And lastly, in the French
Sorry to
subsidiary.
interrupt, Mr. Harshan, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Sharma from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good numbers. So, sir, my question, what is the size of this development order received from DRDO? And also, if you can explain about the overall opportunity size in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. The size of the development order itself is relatively small. I mean, this is in the range of maybe around 10 crores or so. But these are you know, major platforms that will come subsequently. Obviously, as I mentioned, just the time to design and qualify this at the platform level. I mean, for us to design and deliver this is a 18 to 24 month project. And then for it to be qualified at the platform level, integrated on the plane, has a lead time associated with that. So in the period of 3 to 4 years, it may not directly yield huge orders. But subsequent to that, I mean, this is for a major platform, which is the Sukhoi 30, and the size of opportunity there can be to the tune of maybe 1,000 crores or so. And the other important thing is also while we are developing this for the specific program, the technology are sort of like building blocks. So we can use these technologies to also try to open up and create opportunities in other programs, which we will also be pursuing. So, It is a significant development because this is the cutting edge technology that we will be developing for radars, and we are confident that it should open up some sizable opportunities for us going forward.
Okay, and could you talk more on the airborne platform program you briefly mentioned in the presentation? So what are the products and we are targeting?
Yeah, so I mean, staying on this point of the radar itself, I mean, this itself represents an important opportunity. The one I talked about in the presentation, which is for the Virupaksha program, is intended for the Su-30 platform. But like I was mentioning, similar type of technology, there are requirements and needs for other type of platforms, including on various types of UAVs, helicopters, and other future next-generation fighters also. So those are one. And then, of course, in addition to this, we are also working on certain other subsystems and technologies in the radar and electronic warfare domain. So.
Okay, and sir, the last question on the EMS and like BTS business breakup. So we have seen like 15% margin at standalone level. This is comparatively higher, which we guide. So was there any one-time higher BTS business revenue contribution in this quarter, or the split is normal? We can expect in the coming year also.
So one thing I would say is, you know, please look at the company on the yearly basis, because it's difficult to say pull up, you know, on the whole, the BTS and the EMS business will maintain the characteristics. But during the quarter, see, one may be higher and even product mix may vitiate, etc. So the point to note is overall, we should be able to maintain the same percentages that we have been giving.
Okay, and sir, if you can give like growth guidance on the EMS business.
Mr. Sharma, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question, as there are many participants left in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers and, you know, getting the development orders for Virupaksha radar. So, Nikhil, you know, we have been talking about 3-4 segments that we have been concentrating on the BTS side. One is the defense satellite, one is the radar, then we have EWS as well as the tank electronics. So for all the 3-4 major segment that we have been talking about, can you give us some flavor on how are things going on new order intake side, and when are we expected to get some development as well as commercial orders from these segments?
Yeah. So if you look at the last year, the last financial year, we had a good increase in terms of our overall order book, and that was driven essentially by a few key programs, one being a radar program itself, where we had designed with DRDO in the early stage some of the critical TR module planks for naval radar that came in the form of production orders for us in the last year. We will be executing that. And the same product we hope will have further demand as our customer gets newer orders for these type of platforms and so on. So that's one. In terms of products that we have already designed and we've started to get the first production orders for. In addition to that, as I mentioned, in terms of new technology developments, again, in this sector. We talked about the Virupaksha order, we are now going to be developing significant part of the radars at center. So that's on the radar front. The space side has been another area that we had some sizable orders last year. We are also anticipating some good orders coming this year from a few different programs. So we are working hard to capture those. And then on the EW side as well, we have responded to certain large opportunities from the customers on airborne platforms of different things. So these are, some of them are competitive bids, so we will have to wait for the results of some of these opportunities, but these are large opportunities that we have. And finally, on the land systems side, here again, we've been investing over the past few years in terms of developing equivalent solutions to imported systems and subsystems. We've seen some of those orders come in, even including in the current quarter. And there are a few other key products that we are also in advanced stages of development and qualification. And we hope to have the qualification completed in this financial year, and maybe the first orders for those also coming in at the end of this year or the beginning of next year, next financial year. So I think the progress is good, both in terms of our development pipeline and roadmap, as well as order intake coming in from key customers.
So we have been trying to work directly as a system supplier to the tri-services, and we were hoping that we were developing some products for them where the order size can be of the magnitude of around 200, 300 or even 500 crores, a single order size. So how close are we to getting those contracts? Where are they in terms of development stage? Do you think in the coming financial year, FY26 or FY27, we should be able to back some of this large contract that this which can add to our order book substantially?
We continue to work on some of those opportunities. I think we've submitted various proposals and are awaiting. The government obviously has process associated with those, so they are still in the various approval stages within the government itself. So we don't see in the very short term some of these major opportunities coming through. But we continue to work on them and monitor them very closely, and as and when the processes in approval processes come through and they come out in the form of RFQs and all of that, we are well positioned to be able to bid on those. But having said that, again, I come back to the point of our own organic business, where we have already done a lot of work and effort in terms of development and customer engagements, and we are quite confident that orders coming from there should be healthy and will support the growth of this this part of the business for us in the coming few years.
So
another part, if I were to summarize, I would say for the large opportunities, the potential is still there, and the pipeline visibility is improving,
Yet, the actual order when we will get depends on the government processes, which seem to be improving, but still we are not able to clearly say it will happen this year or so. As we progress and as we get more visibility, we should be able to inform.
So can we expect that, you know, with the current programs that we have on a standalone basis, our BTS revenues can grow by 20-25% or even higher, 25-30% over the next 2-3 years? And if we get some of these large tri-services orders, you know, our BTS revenue can grow magnifold depending on if we get some of those large orders or not. And can we expect some of those wins in FY27-28, if not this year, 26?
Your guess is as good as mine, but yeah, all I can say is to your first point, you know, the growth that we can see on the standalone business driven by the order book that we have, I think we are reasonably confident that we can continue to go down that path. And yes, as and when these big ticket opportunities click, it can be a step improvement also for the overall business.
So, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions only. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Regarding the margins,
Mr. Shah, can you speak a little louder?
Yeah. My question was regarding the margins this quarter.
Mr. Shah, we can't hear you properly.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, please continue.
Yeah. My question was regarding the margins this quarter. See, our BTS segment revenue share as compared to last quarter has improved by 600 basis points, but still our margins are lower this time. And BTS segment being the highest margin segment for us, what is the reason for lower margin?
Mr. Shah, can you please keep the device closer to you? We can't hear you properly.
Am I audible now?
No. Can you please speak a little louder?
One second. I'll join the queue again.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Anant Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. In the 57 crore standalone BTS business, can you give a rough split between the space and the defense? And I'm reading that there is a significant and there is government is fast tracking the space based surveillance. So can you talk about the opportunity for us there?
Yeah. You know, first of all, I wouldn't, you know, we don't really give the breakup in terms of space and defense and so on, because in several cases, we also have programs for defense which are, you know, on a space platform, for example, right? So the way we see it is more just generally build-to-spec business for our domestic customers in space and defense as a whole. Having said that, I mean we do quite a bit of critical work and programs for the space side of the business. So we do have an important contribution coming from both parts of it in the overall revenue. To your question about the SBS3 program, this is. The budgets have just been sanctioned, and a big part of it will be going to ISRO, after which these will come out in the form of various RFQs for private industries and so on. So these are all at different stages of maturity. But we have been working with ISRO for a long time, and we continue to, you know, look and participate in several different areas of engagement here. So We've read the whole thing about the government asking to fast track it, but that is, you know, for us right now, it's still at the early stages of the program, and we are waiting to see how these pan out in the form of different types of RFQs and opportunities for private sector industry.
Sure. So these orders will be like, when we get these orders, will they get executed this year, or do you think it will be happen next year? And can you brief it out? What is the size like that we are looking for in this particular project?
The timelines are get spread over over multiple years, at least 2 years. You know, they will be meant. There are multiple different opportunities and orders that will come through. So that's the first point to your question. The second one, in terms of the pie size, this is something I'm not able to share right now. We have a view of all the different opportunities that are there. Some of them where we have unique positioning because of our proprietary IP or technology that we have on our site, and some which are competitive bids where we have to compete against others. So the pie itself is substantial. We will need to see how much of that we'll be booking ourselves.
Sure. My second question is about yesterday in the AGM, you had mentioned the three-year outlook about 18% to 20% EBITDA margins that we'll do in 3 years. Can you tell about the roadmap? How can we, like, from the current margins, how can we go to 18% to 20%?
Yeah, no, just to be clear, what we talked about is 18% to 20% growth rate at a consolidated level. We're not referring to, this is revenue growth, not EBITDA margin. EBITDA margin, objective is to be in the range of 13% to 15% at a consolidated level, which today is at a 8.5% or so level. So the roadmap that we see there, first of all, as you see, the standalone part of the business is already at a roughly 14% level. So we expect and are working to maintain, maybe slightly improve that, but given the growth rate that we will experience in both the EMS and the build-to-spec business, the standalone EBITDA levels will be more or less in a similar sort of range. The opportunity for improvement will come largely from the subsidiary, which today is at almost, like, if you look at the last year, it was at, you know, roughly 1.5% kind of EBITDA level, which is dragging down the overall consolidated number. And so the path to fixing that are fundamentally two things. One is the Canadian subsidiary, which I talked about a little bit earlier, which is a major contributor for some of the losses that we are seeing there. We are taking some action, strategic steps, in discussion with our key customer there to be able to stop those losses in the coming quarter or two. And the second aspect of it, which is more on the France subsidiary, where essentially the sale has reduced, and that has resulted in the impact on the margins. There we are working in terms of focusing our sales efforts on the key customers in defense and aerospace, where we've seen the pipeline improve over the past quarter or two. And we're working in a focused way to try to convert those into opportunities and improve the sale, which will help improve the margin also at the France subsidiary level. So, with all of this, we're working on a roadmap that would help us improve this subsidiary margins from this 1% to try to get to a 10-11% kind of level in roughly 2-year time period. And so that's the overall plan for margin improvement, I would say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Sir, you had mentioned some NPI qualifications previously. I wanted to understand if these are tied to clean energy, semiconductor, or some other sector, and what is the anticipated revenue contribution from these opportunities?
Yeah. These are basically with new customers. First, just to clarify, first of all, when we say NPI qualification, typically when we are awarded a new business, either from existing or from a new customer, we go through a qualification phase where we build prototypes and they go through rigorous testing and so on. And so once those are approved, then we get into mass production. So what I was referring to here were basically on 2-3 key customer segments. One was semiconductor segment. Another is around biometric security solutions. And the third is, again, back to defense and aerospace for the export customers. So with all of this, I think for the current financial year itself, our objective is some of these NPIs itself will add about 15 million or so in terms of revenue, US dollars revenue.
16 million?
15, yeah, roughly about 15 million.
Right, okay. And what is the total opportunity over the next 4-5 years? How much?
These are all pretty much recurring products. So these revenues may go up or down based on specific years' demand from the customer. But the way we see it, EMS business is more dependent on the customer relationship than on the specific product itself, and so. With these customers, we have gone through these NPI qualifications and so on for a certain set of products. We continue to have a pipeline of new products also, which we are quoting and winning, and will help to increase our engagement with these customers as we go forward into the coming years.
Great. That is all my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for allowing me to ask the question. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the CAPEX front, you are doing 40 crores of CAPEX in FY26 with respect to the standalone entity. How much incremental revenue will this aid in? Historically, you have been able to work with respect to, I'm just talking about the standalone entity. On a gross block of 230 crores, you were able to do 750 crores. Can we expect the same asset turn?
Yeah, actually it will be slightly better also.
It will be around 4 to 5?
5 minimum on the gross block. Oh. At the net block level is what earlier I was talking about. It can be around 6-7 times, yeah. And this corroborates with the revenue growth that Nikhil has been indicating.
So, but that's like a follow up. Like historically, our standalone entity has been growing at 25. Has been growing about 25% every year for the past at least from what I can see for the past two three years. So once this block commences operation, can we expect that in FY27 there will be an additional leg of growth.
So just to explain this actual CapEx itself, if you look at this standalone entity in the BTS business, you know, basically we have different set of capabilities, right? So we are doing right from, you know, analog, digital, power, RF, you know, so on and so forth. So when I say we are augmenting the capabilities, we also augment the capacities in the respective capabilities. So with whatever we had, the capabilities, that is how we have been growing. And going forward, we are increasing the capabilities and also increasing the capacities in the existing as well as the future capabilities. So
okay,
it's an iterative process. That's the reason why I said we should be able to maintain or slightly improve.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhi Mevawala from Vice Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have only one question related to a UK subsidiary, Centrum UK Electronics Limited. I want to know, basically, in last 2 years, we have invested around 33 CR in FY24 and 45 CR in FY25. So what kind of opportunity we are looking there?
UK is actually a pass-through. It is a special purpose vehicle. So the investment was in the French subsidiary. So if you see that, you know, from the Centrum Electronics parent company, we invest in the Centrum UK, and Centrum UK is investing in the French company. So UK is not an operating entity at all.
Okay. So basically, we are investing more in France.
That was right. Yes.
Another point, in latest quarter, around my 12 CR loss we incur from this subsidiary. So how much loss we incur from Canada?
So it's roughly 50-50. 50% in Canada and 50% in France of the 12 crores. But whereas the revenue from Canada is very, very small, but the loss is quite high. So that's the reason we are trying to stop that.
So basically it's loss from employee.
Yes.
Employee cost.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask one question only. The next question is from the line of Ajay from Nivishay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. I wanted to understand, like, how is the distribution of business under the EMS segment, more on the, you know, sector-wise, which sector are being focused over there, and also, is it more diversified across customers, or do we have repeat orders from few customers? If you could highlight more on the EMS part of the business. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the EMS business is certainly, quite well diversified. We address customers in defense and aerospace for exports. We address industrial and energy, some medical customers, and as well as the automotive or mobility kind of customers. So these are all the sectors that we're in. And now, as I mentioned, some of the newer customers that we've added and we're ramping up are in the semiconductor space, semiconductor equipment, and biometrics and security. So these are all the different sectors that we're catering to, and all I would say pretty much all of the business is recurring in nature. These are products that have long life cycles and can last, you know, 10 years or more in many cases. And so we have a fairly high level of recurring revenue in this part of the business for us. Even from a geography standpoint, it's quite well diversified. I mean, here again, I would say a big part of it is for export. We have some part which is domestic, but we are exporting again to Europe. We are exporting to the US, to other countries in Asia, including Israel, and you know, even now to countries like Malaysia, Singapore, and so on. So there's a fairly good level of diversification in this part of the business.
Understood. And one last question. Wanted to understand more on the BTS side of things. We have been highlighting the amount of opportunity that we have available from this segment, considering the vast domestic, you know, aerospace and defense sector as a whole. So any growth guidance you would be comfortable giving, like how this segment can grow maybe 2-3 years down the line?
We don't give any specific guidance on specific parts of the business. I think we've maintained that at the consolidated level, we're moving at 18-20%, with obviously a higher growth rate coming from the standalone business. And that is a combination of both the build-to-spec and the EMS business growing at a healthy growth rate of 25%+ that we are targeting. Right? So, I would say at a high level for the time to come. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you very much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, hope I'm audible now.
Yes.
Yeah. So my question was regarding our EBITDA margins. See, on a yearly basis, we have done well. But on quarterly basis, even with our BTS segment now contributing around 38% from 32% on quarterly basis, why are our EBITDA margins down?
Because so that's what I was trying to say earlier also. You know, you cannot compare the yearly percentage to a quarterly percentage. The challenge is, you know, for example, the mix changes during the quarters. So we should be able to maintain the EBITDA margins, which Nikhil was indicating around 14-15% on a yearly basis.
Yeah, there's a few things that contribute to this, to the EBITDA margins. One is, of course, the mix of the BTS and EMS, but also just the level of sales. So, the fundamental point is that that some of this business is lumpy in nature. So we have level of sales varying, not just the percentage of the contribution, but the level of the sale also that plays into this. So I think I would just go back to what Jason was saying, and of course, even within each business, even within the BTS business or within the EMS business, there are different product mix which will contribute to different levels of margin variation, right? So,
and this 14% is on consolidated basis or on standalone basis?
Standalone. Okay. EBITDA is 14.9% for the quarter.
That second question was regarding our revenue growth. This quarter, it has been only 11%.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah, but we are taking only one question per participant.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Nikhil, I have got only one question that, as I understand, a lot of startups are also doing quite well in this field of space. So, and they are working on a very niche areas. So, when we are saying that this space sector is very, very interesting and the opportunity size and the size which ISRO is talking about is around roughly $3 to $4 billion. Now, are we planning to work with these kind of companies, or we will be working with some kind of multinational or foreign companies to take on bigger, huge projects in future?
Yeah, thanks, Pranav. In a nutshell, we are doing all three. We are already working on partnering and working with some of these startups in different ways, either by doing some of the core parts of their satellites or in certain cases, we are also with the end users working on some sort of partnership type of agreement where we will be the prime contractor and there will be a certain work share that is divided between what we do and the core IP or technology that the startup brings. That's one aspect of it. Yeah, coming back to your question, there is the opportunities that we are talking about with some of these key and large programs will be driven through ISRO. This is where our own internal capabilities and engagements that we have, combined with some specific strategic partnerships where we are working with some global companies, are both being pursued to be able to position ourselves to capture these opportunities. I would say, from a business perspective, from our visibility at least, the bigger share of it would come either driven by our own internal capabilities or in certain very specific cases through the partnership with the global companies.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I would like to add one quick point on that. While we are quite open to work with the large private companies and international organizations and also the startups. See, startups are something that you cannot ignore at this point of time because they bring innovation to the table. But what we do is we ensure that we don't lose money with them. We ensure that, because for every 10 startups, maybe 2 startups are succeed exceedingly well. So what we ensure is when we work with startups, we ensure that we get our money on the material front at least, definitely.
Yeah. So we are not going to buy them out or we are not going to enter into some kind of investment game. I agree. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anant Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Is there any update on Indra Sistema that some MOU we are saying?
No further update on that program. It's still basically stalled and we have no further update from the government on this program.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Vijay from Capstock. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My question is a follow-up question regarding the margins that someone had previously asked. You mentioned that the margins will vary across quarters due to different mix. So my question is, our revenue recognition for build-to-spec is very heavily focused on quarter four. So can we expect a more even distribution across quarters this year or would it follow a similar pattern?
So your observation is by and large right. If you look at in the past for 2-3 years also, the margin expansion happened in the Q4. But we were a little fortunate this year, I would say. If you look at even Q1, I think margin was better compared to last year Q1. So this year around, maybe it will be distributed, if not on an equal basis. Maybe still, the higher margin probably would be top in the last quarter. But this year is slightly better than the previous year, where most of it happened only in the Q4.
All right. So thank you, sir. All the best to the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you and stay safe.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.